National Nation Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American readiness program. Let me take this opportunity to welcome the listening audience of BBSRadio.com. Common Sense Preparedness is pleased to announce our show will be airing on BBS Radio every other Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We can also be heard live on KJAA 1240 a.m. in southeastern Arizona every third Tuesday of the month at 6 a.m. A little bit about the show. Disasters happen all the time, every day. Pandemics, earthquakes, extreme weather. Are you prepared to handle any type of disaster? Do you have a family emergency plan? How about a family communication plan? Do you have supplies? Do you know how to rescue an injured loved one or administer first aid? Emergencies happen quickly, so you must be prepared for them. The whole family must be prepared and trained on how to react to an emergency. Most lives are lost in a disaster due to the sad fact that most people do not know what to do. Over 70% of Americans do not have an emergency plan, nor would they know what to do in case the earthquake hits, or they get stuck with a snowstorm and they're out of power for 4 days. Well, here's a good one. What if your child came down with bird flu and was contagious? Would you know how to treat her? Would you know how to take care of her and make sure you don't get sick? What about MRSA? MRSA is very popular right now. Do you know how to treat and handle MRSA? This radio program is a broadcasting endeavor to help give the American public emergency readiness information on how to prepare for and how to manage any type of emergency. We can be heard nationwide on bbsradio.com and live on 1240 a.m. in southeastern Arizona. Common Sense Preparedness will bring the average listener basic and simple ideas on how to prepare for and how to react to emergencies, to include planning, ready kits, evacuations, shelters in place, basic CPR, first aid, AED operations, how to find a shelter, and so on. Now, this is not a show brought to you by your mother telling you how to be safe. I have over 25 years' experience in the disaster preparedness field. I have been part of or associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, instructor for the National Safety Council and the American Red Cross, a firefighter, a chemical biological warfare instructor, the U.S. National Disaster Response Force, U.S. Department of Justice, and a founding member of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. I have also been involved with 9/11, Hurricane Andrew, Rita, and Katrina, the Washington, D.C. earthquake, the Panama invasion, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Plus, I am not going to just give you my ideas and my thoughts. We will interview people from the field, firefighters, paramedics, police officers, government officials, and people who've gone through a disaster or two. They'll be able to give you first-hand experiences and knowledge. Plus, with my own, we'll be able to find innovative ways to prepare for any type of disaster. If you haven't been reading the news lately, one of the ways the government's going to try and balance the budget is by cutting emergency preparedness services. I'm not talking about the services in the field like paramedics and fire suppression. I mean training, basic disaster preparedness functions, exercises, and so on. However, in a disaster, will the government be there? Yeah, in a few days. So that means we need to survive a disaster until then. It could be hours, it could even be days. The sad fact is this. The most critical time in any disaster is the first few hours when everything is in disarray. People need help. That's when it falls on your shoulders to help them. This program will help you prepare for and react to emergencies. If you have any comments or questions about the show, you can always drop me an email, tim@hesafety.org, or check out our forums at csp.hesafety.org. Hey, think about the website, csp.hesafety.org. It was created to give the American public a central location for disaster news and a communication portal for you and your family to communicate with your loved ones in time of disaster. The site is free. I do ask you to sign up in order to receive our newsletters, plus I'm able to gauge how well the show is doing by your feedbacks and your comments. Now, while you're on the website, feel free to explore it. In our Emergency Information Network, you'll find the latest news from reputable sources to include government agencies on any disaster going on, links to FEMA, Red Cross, National Geological Service, CDC, and so on. Plus, our emergency report will give you a weekly situational overview on anything that might affect you, to include our food safety report and our solar weather report. We're trying to keep that website up to date as much as possible, but I must warn you, it seems that that website is being updated and changed every 4 days. Something new comes up, we want to put it on there, we get it up there as fast as possible, So the point is, check back often. Don't just come to the website and say, oh, I've got it all and that's it. Tomorrow there'll be something new on there. Currently, our forums are down right now. We've just upgraded our website for the new year, and we're hoping to have our forums back up and online by the end of January. Let's go ahead and get the legal stuff out of the way. Any information found on the website or in this radio program is not to be taken as medical or legal advice. It is based on my experience and my research. This information is in its basic form. If you want more advanced knowledge, contact one of the professionals in your local area, or you may contact the show and we can research it together. Also new this year, HE Safety and Common Sense Preparedness will be found on Facebook and Google+. We will be updating both Facebook and Google+ with news stories as they are happening, so it might be a good idea to swing by and keep informed of what's going on. And by all means, if you have a comment, you may leave it at Google+, Facebook, or on our website at hesafety.org. And I can guarantee you somebody will answer that within a day or two. Also, when you're on the website, show some love to our sponsors and our affiliates. They are how we pay our bills and bring this stuff to you for free. And we have some very, very good sponsors. I've been amazed at some of the sponsors we've been able to receive. They offer the products that you will need for your emergency kits and disaster preparedness in the home and in your car. Plus, HE Safety is working on preparing a checklist of equipment that you need in your home and the emergency supplies, and which suppliers have them. And hopefully that will be out in the next few months. Well, that's about it for About Us. So let's see what we got. All right, since it's that time of season, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about winter preparedness. Wintertime brings with it snowboarding, skiing, snowball fights, and sledding. It also brings with it death to elders and babies, both inside and outside the home. Wintertime is far worse than summertime, because in the summer, the sun burns you. It makes you react. Cold weather, however, takes away your will to survive. Only 4 degrees separates us from life and death. Cold weather is an adversary that can be dangerous. Every time you venture into the cold, you are pitting yourself against the elements. With a little knowledge of the environment, proper plans, and appropriate equipment, you can overcome these elements. Remember, winter weather is highly variable. Prepare yourself to adapt to blizzard conditions even during sunny and clear weather. Coldness is a far greater threat than it appears. It decreases the ability to think and weakens your will to do anything except get warm. Coldness is an insidious enemy. As it numbs the mind and body, it subdues your will to survive. Some facts and figures about winter deaths. Deaths related to ice and snow, about 70% of them occur in automobiles. About 25% of those are people caught out in a storm. Deaths related to exposure to the cold, 50% of the people are over 60 years old. Over 75% are male. About 20% of them occur in the home. Everyone is potentially at risk during a winter storm. The actual threat to you depends on your specific situation. When winter temperature drops significantly below normal, staying warm and safe can be a challenge. Extremely cold temperature can often accompany a winter storm. So that means you may have to cope with power failures and icy roads along with this winter storm. Although staying indoors as much as possible will help reduce some of these risks, you will have risks from indoor hazards. Many homes will be too cold, either due to power failure or because the heating system is inadequate for the weather. When people must use space heaters and fireplaces to stay warm, the risk of household fires increase, as well as carbon monoxide poisoning. So, our wintertime checklist must include testing both the CO2 and the smoke detectors on a weekly basis. They become vital instruments. Exposure to the cold temperatures, whether indoors or out, can cause other serious life-threatening health problems. Infants and the elderly are particularly at risk, but anyone can be affected. To keep yourself and your family safe, you should know how to prevent cold-related health problems and what to do in case of cold weather health emergencies arise. The two main cold weather medical issues you're going to be facing is frostbite and hypothermia. Frostbite is damage to the body tissue caused by extreme cold. Below zero temperatures with light wind will cause frostbite in about 30 minutes. Frostbite causes a loss of feeling and a white or pale appearance of extremities such as fingers, toes, earlobes, and the tip of the nose. If symptoms are detected, get medical help immediately. If you must wait for help, slowly rewarm the affected areas with body heat. However, if the person is showing signs of hypothermia, warm the body core first. Now, hypothermia is a condition brought on when the body temperature drops below 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and it can kill you. For those who survive hypothermia, there is likely to be lasting damage to the kidneys, liver, and pancreas. Now, warning signs of hypothermia include uncontrolled shivering, memory loss, disorientation, incoherence, slurred speech, drowsiness, and apparent exhaustion. That was me on New Year's Eve. Take the person's temperature. If it's below 95, seek medical attention immediately. You have to get help. If medical care is not available, warm the person slowly, starting with the body core. You see, warming the arms and legs first could drive cold blood towards the heart and can lead to heart failure. If necessary, use your body heat for help. Get the person into dry clothing and wrap them in a warm blanket. Make sure you cover the head and neck. Do not give the person alcohol, drugs, coffee, caffeine, or any hot beverages or food. Now, one thing I want to note here is wind chill. Wind chill is not the actual temperature outside, but rather how wind and cold actually feels on exposed skin. As the wind increases, heat is carried away from the body at accelerated rates, driving down the body temperature. Animals are also affected by wind chill. However, cars, plants, and other objects like that are not. Now, the human body is normally at 98.6. At 94 degrees, your body begins to freeze and dies. So maintaining warmth in a cold environment is critical. And how we do this, first of all, let's take a look at our body heat. The body basically acts like a furnace, producing heat through chemical reaction and activity. This heat is lost through conduction, convection, evaporation, radiation, and respiration. As physical activity increases, so does heat production, and conversely, as activity decreases, so does heat production. The key to keeping warm is to add or subtract insulation to the body in the form of clothing. See, when you wear many layers of clothing, your body heat is trapped in between the layers, and that is your insulation. Now, how do we dress for the winter? How do we keep warm in a cold environment? The essence of staying warm in the winter is having the proper clothing layers and knowing how to use them effectively. Personally, I dress in 4 layers during the winter. Undershirt, t-shirt, flannel, and coat. This way, if I get hot, I peel off a layer or two. And if the weather changes, I'm prepared to face it until I can get into a warm environment. Also, remember, the majority of body heat is lost through the skull. So a winter cap is just as important as a winter jacket. So what constitutes extreme cold? Well, that varies across different parts of the country. In regions relatively unaccustomed to winter weather, like Florida, near freezing temperatures are considered extreme cold. Regions that are accustomed to winter weather, like New Jersey, below zero temperature is considered extreme cold. And the Arctic region? Well, below minus 20 is considered extreme cold. Your home must be able to handle these extreme conditions, but you must prepare not only your home, but yourself and your supplies to handle these extremes also. Besides the outside temperature, you're going to have to deal with winter storms. The real danger here is the fact that a winter storm can knock out power for days or weeks and basically shut everything down. What makes up a winter storm? Well, cold air. Below freezing temperatures in the clouds or near the ground are necessary to make snow or ice. Moisture, to form clouds and precipitation. Air blown across a body of water, such as a large lake or the ocean, is an excellent source of moisture. And third and final thing is lift. Lift is something to raise the moist air to form the clouds and cause precipitation. You need those 3 things. Some dangers associated with winter storms. Storms with strong winds, also known as blizzards. Sometimes winter storms are accompanied with strong winds creating blizzard-like conditions with blinding wind-driven snow, severe drifting, and dangerous wind chills. Strong winds with these intense storms can knock down trees, utility poles, and power lines. Storms near the coast can cause coastal flooding and beach erosion, as well as sink ships at sea. In the west and Alaska, winds descending off the mountains can gust up to 100 miles an hour, which would damage roofs and other structures. Ice storms. Heavy accumulations of ice can bring down trees, power lines, telephone poles, and communication towers. Communication and power may be disrupted for days while utility companies work to repair the extensive damage. Even small accumulations of ice may be an extreme hazard to motorists and pedestrians. And finally, heavy snowstorms. Heavy snow can immobilize a region and paralyze a city, stranding commuters, stopping the flow of supplies, and disrupting emergency and medical services, so you're on your own. Also, accumulations of snow can collapse buildings and knock down trees and power lines. In rural areas, homes and farms may be isolated for days or weeks, and unprotected livestock may be lost. In the mountains, heavy snow can lead to avalanches, and that's a whole new set of problems. So as you can see here, winter storms and wintertime brings its own problems, a lot of problems. And most people die because they do not realize all this. They go out to have fun, it's just snow, it's just water, and they end up freezing to death. Or their home is not prepared. Don't get me wrong, wintertime can be a lot of fun. However, you must keep the dangers in the back of your mind so you don't become their victim.
You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard. We'll be right back after a few brief messages from our sponsors.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album to be released in January with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Welcome back to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard. How to prepare your home for the winter. Every year, it is predictable that the outside temperature will drop and the cold north wind will blow. Most people aren't prepared for winter, and most homes are not prepared to keep the coldness out. The problem here is this. Because of this short-sightedness, many people die. The elderly and the babies are the most susceptible. Pneumonia and influenza are the leading cause of death during the wintertime. Check out the influenza page on HESafety.org for more information. You will also have to be prepared for frostbite and hypothermia. They're the first two things that happen during any kind of winter storm. One last thing you want to keep in mind when you're preparing for the wintertime. It is a very strong possibility that a winter storm might cause power outages and you will have to survive in a home for long periods of time with no communication and no power. That makes heating source, how to keep warm, a number one priority. Most preparedness professionals preach to be prepared for 3 days. It's been my experience, though. 3 days is just the beginning. I recommend that you prepare for 7 days. 7 days worth of food, 7 days worth of water, 7 days worth of supplies. In almost all situations, by the 7th day, you'll have a sound grip on what's going on. What supplies you need to resupply on? Are you ready to evacuate to a shelter or to a friend's house? And a lot of times, the situation's already over. Although periods of extreme cold cannot always be predicted far in advance, weather forecasts are getting pretty good at providing you with several days' notice. Listen to the local weather forecast regularly during the wintertime and check your emergency supplies whenever a period of extreme cold is predicted. Prepare for extreme cold weather every winter. Prepare for power outages every winter. It's always a possibility. There are steps you can take in advance for greater wintertime safety in your home. The ability to feel changes in temperature decreases with age. An older person is more susceptible to health problems caused by a cold. If you're over 65 years old, place an easy-to-read thermometer in an indoor location where you can see it frequently and check the temperature of your home often during the winter months. You know, whether you're 65 or not, I think that's a good idea to do, period. Insulate all water lines along exterior walls so that water supplies are less likely to freeze. Insulate pipes with insulation or newspaper and plastic and allow faucets to drip a little during cold winter months to avoid freezing. To the extent possible, waterproof your home by adding weather stripping, insulation, insulate doors and storm windows,
or install thermal pane windows. Caulk and weather strip all doors and windows. Install storm windows or cover your windows with plastic from the inside. Install heavy curtains on your windows. This helps reduce the cold from getting in. Install snow fences in rural areas to reduce drifting in roads and paths, which could block access to homes, barns, and animals' feed and water. If you live in a flood area, consider purchasing flood insurance to cover possible floods during the spring thaw. Homeowner policies don't cover this kind of damage. Prepare for possible isolations in your home by having sufficient heat and fuel. Regular fuel sources may be cut off during power outages. For example, store a good dry supply of seasoned wood for your fireplace or wood-burning stove. If you don't have a fireplace or a wood-burning stove, I would advise purchasing one. Winterize your home, barn, shed, or any other structure that may provide shelter for your family, neighbors, or livestock. Clear rain gutters, repair roof leaks, and cut away tree branches that could fall on your house or other structures during a storm. Keep fire extinguishers on hand and make sure everyone in the house knows how to use them. House fires pose an additional risk as more people turn to alternate heating sources without taking the necessary safety precautions. Learn how to shut off your water valves just in case your pipes burst. Prior to winter, check the structure ability of the roof to sustain unusual heavy weight from the accumulation of snow or water. If drains on flat roofs don't work, it'll back up on the roof. Fireplace and wood stove preparation. If you plan to use a fireplace or wood stove for emergency heating during the winter, have your chimney or flue inspected each year. Also, if you'll be using a fireplace, wood stove, or kerosene heater, install a smoke detector and a battery-operated carbon monoxide detector near areas to be heated. Test them monthly and replace batteries twice a year. Burn only seasoned hardwood like oak, ash, or maple. Don't burn trash, cardboard boxes, or Christmas trees. They burn unevenly, may contain poisons, and cause a home fire. Also, have a professional chimney sweep company inspect chimneys every year. They'll fix any cracks, blockages, or leaks they find, and clean out any buildup in a chimney. Now, buildup in a chimney can cause fires, so you want to make sure that's done annually. Also, you want to open your flues before fireplaces are used. Kerosene logs can be used to help reduce the buildup of kerosene in the fireplace. You can find them in the local stores. Use sturdy screens and glass doors to keep embers inside the fireplaces and not jumping out on the floor. Install at least one smoke alarm on every level of your home and inside or near sleeping areas. Keep young children away from working wood stoves or heaters to avoid contact burn injuries. Now, if you're going to be using a portable space heater this year, make sure your heater has been tested for safety. Look at the bottom for a label, the UL, CSA, or ETL label. Place space heaters at least 3 feet away from anything that can burn, including furniture, people, pets, and curtains. You should always have an adult in the room when the space heater is on. Turn off space heaters before leaving the room or going to sleep. Supervise children and pets at all times around portable space heaters. And never use space heaters to dry clothing or blankets. It doesn't work. Now, some personal winter preparedness. Keep food supplies up to a 7-day level. Food that doesn't require heat nor refrigeration, such as canned meats, soups, and stews, cereals, and energy bars. Water. You're going to need 1 gallon of water per person per day. Allow enough for 7 days. Also, you want a 7-day supply of prescription medications at all times. You also want blankets and cold weather clothing for each family member. A warm coat, gloves or mittens, hat, and a water-resistant boot for each member of the family. Winter safety for pets. During any type of emergency situation, pets, especially dogs, are great for protection, and they act like an early warning system. However, they are living creatures just like we are, and are susceptible to things that we are also. If you have pets, bring them indoors. If you cannot bring them inside, provide adequate shelter to keep them warm and make sure they have access to unfrozen water. Most animal deaths in winter storms are from dehydration. Plan for additional pet food and water for household pets up to 7 days in emergency supplies. Frostbite, hypothermia, and even death are real dangers for your pets. Don't let their fur coats fool you. Small, young, and older pets should be brought in when the temperature reaches 40 degrees. All other pets should be brought in at 20 degrees. Frostbite occurs when a pet's ears, claws, or tail gets cold enough that ice crystals form in the tissue and causes damage. If you think your pet has frostbite, bring him into a warm area and soak the affected area with warm water for about 20 minutes. In the meantime, contact your local veterinarian immediately. Hypothermia, which occurs when the animal's body temperature goes below normal as a result of prolonged exposure to cold temperatures, is another real danger during the cold winter months. Symptoms of hypothermia include, typically, shivering, lethargic, and low heart rate, slow breathing, and unresponsiveness. If you notice any of these symptoms in your animal, warm the animal up immediately by wrapping them in blankets, get them in a warm environment, etc., and contact your veterinarian. Your animal's shelter. If your pet needs to stay outside for long periods of time, make sure they have a dry, warm, and draft-free shelter. The shelter should be just the right size in order to provide warmth and comfort. If the shelter is too large, the animal's body heat cannot warm up the area. If it is too small, the animal cannot move around in order to generate this body heat. An animal's internal body systems work extra hard in the cold to maintain appropriate body temperatures. As such, your pet needs extra fuel to burn and generate heat. Also, remember to provide plenty of fresh drinking water and keep it from freezing. It is just as easy to get dehydrated in the winter as it is in the summer if proper amounts of water are not consumed. Also, try and keep the snow from building up along fences so it does not provide artificial steps that will allow your pet to get out of the safety of your backyard. If he does get out, remember, the ice melting chemicals commonly used in public streets can irritate and burn your pet's paws. Be sure to rinse off his feet after being exposed to such chemicals. For livestock, move the livestock to sheltered areas. Shelter belts, properly laid out and oriented, are better protection for cattle than confining shelters such as sheds. Have a water supply available. Most animal deaths in the winter storms, like I said, is from dehydration. Also, you want to add some extra stuff or make sure some extra stuff are added to your disaster supply kits during the winter months. Rock salt. Use rock salt to melt away ice and snow. Sand to improve traction. Snow shovels and other snow removal equipment. Paper plates, cups, and paper utensils in case power goes out. Flashlights and batteries. Solar or hand-crank NOAA AM/FM radios. A solar power clock. They also have solar flashlights. A cellular phone, and make sure it's charged most of the time. You also want to make sure you have extra blankets and extra warm clothing in your supply kit. Non-clumping kitty litter. Kitty litter will generate temporary traction. Also, you want to resupply your first aid kit, make sure it's up to levels. You want to check all fire extinguishers and smoke alarms in your home prior to the winter to make sure they are in working condition. If not, replace them. One last thing about preparing your home for the winter. Know ahead of time how to help the elderly and disabled friends in your neighborhood. Check on them regularly and be prepared to bring them into your home when the situation calls for it.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard. We'll be right back after a few brief messages from our sponsors.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album to be released in January with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Welcome back to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard. All right, now we're back. Let's talk a little bit about preparing your automobile for the winter. You can avoid many dangerous travel problems by planning ahead. That's the key here. Have maintenance service on your vehicle as often as manufacturer recommends. One of the leading causes of death during winter storms is transportation accidents. So, preparing your vehicle for the winter season and know how to react if you're stranded or lost on the road are the keys to safe winter driving. Some of the things you want to check when you have your vehicle serviced is, one, windshield wiper fluid, And make sure it's a wintertime mixture. Antifreeze levels, ensure that they are sufficient to avoid freezing. Also, keep your gas tank near full at all times during winter. This will help avoid ice in the tank and fuel lines. Check your battery and ignition system. Should be in top condition and battery terminals should be cleaned. Brakes, check for wear and fluid levels. Exhaust system, check for leaks and crimped pipes. Repair or replace as necessary. Carbon monoxide is deadly and usually gives no warning. Thinking about the exhaust system, if you're traveling and you start to feel sick for no apparent reason, pull over to the side of the road, get out of the car for 5 minutes. If you feel better, more than likely you have an exhaust problem. You need to get that checked. Fuel and air filters. Replace and keep water out of the system by adding additives and maintaining the full gas tank. Heaters and defrosters. Make sure they work. Lights and flashing hazard lights. Check for serviceability. Oil. Check the oil levels and weight. Heavier oils congeal more at low temperatures and do not lubricate as well. If necessary, replace existing oil with a winter-grade oil or an SAE 10W30. Thermostat. Ensure it works properly. Install good winter tires. Make sure the tire has adequate tread. And the way you can do this is by taking the a Lincoln penny and putting it upside down. If the tread covers Lincoln's head, then you've got good tread. If it does not cover Lincoln's head, then the tread is low and you need to replace that tire. All-weather radios are usually adequate for most winter conditions. However, check with your local jurisdiction. Some jurisdictions require that you drive with snow chains and snow tires with studs on. And also check the air pressure regularly. The low air pressure can cause sliding. Also, keep a windshield scraper and small broom for ice and snow removal in your emergency kit. The emergency kit. Let's talk a little bit about the emergency kit. You know, each vehicle should have one. A summertime emergency kit and a wintertime emergency kit. Prior to winter, install your wintertime emergency kit, and that should include a shovel, windshield scraper and small broom, flashlight, battery-operated radio, extra batteries, sleeping bags, extra newspaper for insulation, plastic bags for sanitation, some water, high-energy snack food, matches, extra hats, socks, and mittens, a first aid kit with a pocket knife, and if you take medications, have at least 2 or 3 days worth of medication in there, some extra blankets, tow chain or rope, some salt or sand for the road, booster cables, emergency flares, emergency distress flag, which could be a bandana or something that's brightly colored, rain gear, a small shovel, some tools, card games and puzzles, and a non-electric can opener. And that should complete a good winter emergency kit for your automobile. One thing I want to bring up, if you do get stuck in the snow while traveling, heavy snows can make roads impassable. So if you get stuck, here's some effective survival tips. Start by shoveling a path in front and behind the wheels. Spread sand in your path you have shoveled. A strip of carpet or roof shingles just in front of the tires can give it something to grip onto. Just remember, and this is very important, if the tire does not grip on these items, the tire will catapult them to the opposite side of the tire, so don't be standing behind there, and make sure there's nothing damaged behind the car. If that fails, rock the vehicle back and forth in rapid succession until you can get under some snow that you can grip. Well, now that we got the car out and free, let's talk a little about winter driving safety. Driving during the wintertime is extremely dangerous. Just the slightest movement of the steering wheel and off the road you will go, or that fateful slide when you hit your brakes. The best advice is this. Do not drive if you don't have to. Use public transportation if at all possible. However, if you must drive, use extreme caution. The following tips will help you get to your destination in one piece. Travel in a day, and don't travel alone. Keep others informed of your schedule and your estimated time of arrival. In case anything goes wrong, a half an hour to an hour later, they can start calling for help. Stay on main roads, highways. Avoid back roads and shortcuts. If a blizzard traps you in your car, pull off the highway, turn on your hazard lights, and hang a distress flag from your radio antenna or window. Tie a brightly colored cloth to the antenna as a signal to rescuers and or raise your hood of the car if it's not snowing out. Remain in your vehicle where rescuers are more likely to find you. Do not set out on foot unless you can see a building close by where you know you can take shelter. Be careful. Distances are distorted by blowing snow. A building may seem close, but it's too far to walk in a deep snowstorm. Only leave the car and proceed on foot, if necessary, once the blizzard has passed. Run the engine or heater about 10 minutes every hour to keep warm. When the engine is running, open a downward window, that's the window away from the blowing wind, slightly for ventilation, and periodically clear snow from the exhaust pipe. This will help protect you from possible carbon monoxide poisoning. Also, if you're in your car and you start to feel sick to your stomach, nauseated while the engine is running, get out of the car to some fresh air. If you start to feel better, take a look around the tailpipe, make sure the carbon monoxide is not getting back into the car somehow. Exercise to maintain body heat, but avoid overexertion. In extreme cold, use road mats, seat covers, or floor mats for insulation. Huddle with a passenger and use your coat as a blanket. Body heat will keep you warm. It's the best heat generation. Wrap your entire body, including your head, in extra clothing, blanket, or newspapers. Stay awake. You are less vulnerable to cold-related health problems this way. However, if you are stranded for a long period of time and you need to sleep, take turns sleeping. One person should be awake at all times looking for rescue crews. Drink fluids to avoid dehydration. Be careful not to waste battery power. Balance electrical energy needs, the use of lights, heat, and radio, with supply. Don't drain the battery. Turn on an inside light at night so work crews and rescuers can find you if you will not drain the battery. If stranded in a remote area, stop large block letters in the open, spelling out the words help or SOS, or line with rocks and tree limbs to attract the attention of rescue personnel, who more than likely will be surveying the area by airplane. Move anything you need from the trunk to the passenger area. As you sit, keep moving your arms and legs to improve circulation and stay warm. The more you move, the more your body will generate heat, the more of the heat will be captured in between the layers of your clothing. Watch for signs of frostbite and hypothermia. Severe cold can cause numbness, making you unaware of possible danger. Keep fingers and toes moving for circulation, and huddle together for body heat. Like I said earlier, drink fluids to avoid dehydration. Bulky winter clothing can cause you to sweat, but cold, dry air will help the sweat evaporate, making you unaware of possible dehydration. When individuals are dehydrated, they are more susceptible to effects of the cold and heart attacks. Melt snow before using it for drinking water. Do not eat the snow. It lowers your body's core temperature and increases the risk for hypothermia. Be cautious about travel. Listen to the radio and television reports for travel advisories issued by the National Weather Service. Do not travel in low visibility conditions. That's just dangerous. Avoid traveling on ice-covered roads, overpasses, and bridges if at all possible. If you must travel by car, use tire chains and take a mobile phone with you. I think everyone's got a mobile phone nowadays. Also, a good idea is, before you have to travel in the winter, make sure you check and restock your winter emergency supplies in your car before you leave. You never pour water on your windshield to remove ice or snow. It may cause the windshield to shatter. Now, some notes about winter driving. Due to the road condition, driving during the wintertime poses some additional risks that you must be prepared for. Most traffic accidents in the wintertime are fatal because of these conditions. Slow down. Driving during a snowstorm, traction becomes more valuable than gold. That's because you lose traction faster than you lose your gold. The slower you are going, the more likely you will keep your traction, and if you lose it, the slide will be much shorter. Always wear your seatbelts. Always drive during the daytime. At night, the sunlight decreases. So does the outside temperature, and it may cause freezing. Patches of black ice will ruin your day in a heartbeat. Never drink and drive. You need to be on top of your game during these conditions. Put extra distance between you and the car in front of you. In case you start to slide, you'll know how to react, and hopefully the slide will be shorter. Don't slam on your brakes. The wheels can lock, causing your car to slide. If your car starts to slide, take your foot off the gas. Also, keep your foot off the brake, and turn the wheels in the direction of the slide to straighten it out. Drive on interstates and one-way roads whenever possible. Head-on collisions are among the greatest killers on wet and icy roads. Turn on your lights to see and to be seen. Clear snow and ice off the headlights, taillights, mirrors, and license plates. Stop the car when necessary to keep the windows clear. Be aware that bridges, ramps, and overpasses might freeze first. One last thing, check your wipers. Make sure they're not frozen to the windshield. Consider replacing them with some heavy-duty ones if you have to. You're listening to AG Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. We'll be right back after a few messages from our sponsors.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons from PatriotMusic.com. I'm proud to announce the release of a new CD of original rock in January that celebrates individual liberty and the principles that made our republic great. Come give a listen to the music. We've got free videos, radio, TV, and podcast interviews, and an album cover you'll be thinking about for years. And don't forget to check out the Take Action section, where you can share your ideas on how to put America back on track. PatriotMusic.com.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Welcome back to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Radio. All right. Up until now, we've been talking about wintertime safety, what to expect during wintertime. We've skirted around with the idea of winter storms. Well, let's get into winter storm safety. Extreme cold temperatures can often accompany a winter storm, so you have to cope with power outages and icy roads. Although staying indoors as much as possible will help reduce the risk of car accidents and falls on ice, you may be also faced with indoor hazards. Many homes will be too cold, either due to power failures or because the heating system in the home is inadequate for the weather. When people must use space heaters and fireplaces to stay warm, the risk of household fires and carbon monoxide poisoning increases. A major winter storm can last for several days and be accompanied by high winds, freezing rain, or sleet, heavy snowfall, and cold temperatures. People can become trapped in their homes without utilities and other services. Heavy snowfall and blizzards can trap motorists in their cars, and attempting to walk for help in a blizzard can be a deadly decision. Winter storms can make driving and walking extremely hazardous. The aftermath of a storm can have an impact on a community or region for days, weeks, or even months. Storm effects such as extreme cold temperatures and snow accumulations and sometimes coastal flooding can cause hazardous conditions and hidden problems for people in the affected area. So what is a winter storm and what causes them? A winter storm can range from a moderate snow over a few hours to blizzard conditions with blinding, wind-driven snow that lasts for several days. Some winter storms may be large enough to affect several states, while others may affect only a single community. Many winter storms are accompanied by low temperatures and heavy or blowing snow, which can severely reduce visibility. Winter storms can be defined differently in various parts of the country, as we spoke about before. Winter storms are considered deceptive killers because most deaths are indirectly related to the storm. The leading cause of death during winter storms is from automobiles and other transportation accidents. However, exhaustion and heart attacks caused by overexertion are the two most likely causes of winter storm-related deaths. Elderly people account for the largest percentage of hypothermia victims. Many older Americans literally freeze to death in their own homes after being exposed to dangerously cold indoor temperatures. Or they suffocate because of improper use of fuel such as charcoal briquettes, which produces carbon monoxide. House fires occur more frequently in the winter due to lack of proper safety precautions when using alternate heating sources. Unintended fires, disposal of ashes too soon, too close to the home, improperly placed space heaters, etc. You know, you get the idea. Fires during winter storms present a great danger because water supplies may freeze and it may be difficult for firefighters to get the fire out. During a winter storm, listen to your radio, television, or NOAA weather radio for weather reports and emergency information. When shelters become open and available, go to the designated public shelter area if your home loses power or heat during a period of extreme cold. To find a shelter, everyone's got their cell phones out. Text SHELTER, S-H-E-L-T-E-R, plus your zip code to 43362, which is for FEMA, to find the nearest shelter in your area. Once again, to find a public shelter in your area, once they are open, text SHELTER, S-H-E-L-T-E-R, plus your zip code to 43362, which is for FEMA. When using alternate forms of heat in your home, maintain ventilation, especially when using kerosene heaters to avoid buildup of toxic fumes. Refuel kerosene heaters outside and keep them at least 3 feet from flammable objects. Be aware of changing weather conditions. Severe weather can change quickly. Temperatures may drop rapidly, winds may increase, or snow may fall in heavier rates. What is happening where you are may not also agree with local forecasts. Be prepared for anything. Almost the entire United States, except Hawaii and the territories, are at some risk of winter storms. The level of risk depends on the severity of the local winter weather. Some cooking safety. Never use a charcoal or gas grill indoors. The fumes are deadly. Never use an electric generator indoors or inside a garage or near the air intakes of your home because of the risk of carbon monoxide poisoning. Plug in appliances to the generator using industrial heavy-duty outdoor rated cords. Do not use generators or appliances if they are wet because of the risk of electrocution. And do not store gasoline indoors where the fumes can ignite. Now, during a winter storm, we want to conserve fuel. Winter storms can last for several days. Great demand will be placed on electric, gas, and other fuel distribution systems, fuel oil, propane, etc. Suppliers of propane and fuel oil may not be able to replenish depleted supplies during severe weather. Electric and gas services may be temporarily disrupted when many people demand large amounts at the same time. In order to conserve fuel in your home, lower the thermostat to 65 degrees during the day and 55 at night. Also, close off unused rooms and stuff towels or rags in cracks under doors. Cover your windows at night with blankets. Now, how to light your home safely. If there's a power failure, use battery-powered flashlights or lanterns rather than candles, and never leave lit candles unattended. Now, to conserve some heat in your home, check your doors. You may need fresh air coming in for your heater or for emergency cooking arrangements. However, if you don't need extra ventilation, keep as much heat as possible inside your home. Avoid unnecessarily opening doors and windows. Again, close off unneeded rooms, stuff towels or rags and cracks under doors, and close draperies or cover windows with blankets at night. Now, during a winter storm, one of the most important things you want to do is monitor your body temperature, especially those of infants and the older adults. Infants less than one should never sleep in a cold room by themselves. Why? Well, infants lose body heat more rapidly than adults do. Unlike adults, infants can't make enough body heat by shivering, either. Provide warm clothing for infants and try to maintain a warm indoor temperature for them. If the temperature cannot be maintained, look at making temporary arrangements to stay elsewhere. However, in an emergency, you can keep your infant warm by using your own body heat. If you must sleep, take precautions to prevent rolling on the baby. Pillows and other soft bedding can also present a risk of smothering, so remove them from the area near the baby. Older adults often make less body heat because of slower metabolism and less physical activity. If you're over 65, check the temperature in your home often during severe cold weather. Also, check on elderly friends and neighbors frequently to ensure that their homes are adequately heated. Also, during a winter storm or when you know a winter storm is coming, maintain a water supply. Extreme cold can cause water pipes in your homes to freeze and sometimes rupture. When very cold temperatures are expected, fill up your bathtubs and sinks with water, just in case you need an emergency supply of water. Leave all water taps slightly open so they drip continuously. However, make sure they don't overflow the sink. Keep the indoor temperature warm as possible. Improve the circulation of heated air near pipes. For example, open kitchen cabinet doors beneath the kitchen sink in order for the hot air to get into those pipes. If your pipes do freeze, do not thaw them with a torch. Instead, thaw them slowly by directing warm air from an electric hairdryer onto the pipes. Remove any insulation or layers of newspaper and wrap pipes in rags. Completely open all faucets and pour hot water over the pipes, starting where they're most exposed to the cold, or where the cold is most likely to penetrate. If you cannot thaw your pipes, or the pipes have ruptured, use bottled water or get water from a neighbor's home. As an emergency measure, if there's no water available, snow can be melted for water. Bringing water to a rolling boil for 1 minute will kill most microorganisms and parasites. However, it does not remove chemical pollutants sometimes found in snow. Also, during a winter storm, you want to eat and drink wisely. Eating well-balanced meals will help you stay warmer. Do not drink alcohol or caffeinated beverages. They cause the body to lose heat more rapidly. Instead, drink warm, sweet beverages or broth to help maintain your body's temperature. Eat regularly. Food provides the body with energy for producing its own heat. Also, keep your body replenished with fluids to prevent dehydration. Drink liquids such as warm broth or juices. Avoid caffeine and alcohol, like we just said. Caffeine stimulant accelerates the symptoms of hypothermia. Alcohol, such as brandy, is a depressant and hastens the effect of the cold on the body. Alcohol also slows circulation and makes you less aware of the effects of the cold. Both caffeine and alcohol can cause dehydration. Now, winter storm safety for children when they're out there playing. The best way to stay safe in a snowstorm is to stay inside. Long periods of exposure to severe cold increases the risk of frostbite or hypothermia. Also, it is easy to become disoriented in the blowing snow. If you go outside to play after a snowstorm, dress in many layers and wear a hat and mittens. Many layers of thin clothing are warmer than a single thick layer of clothing. One of the best ways to stay warm is to wear a hat. Most body heat is lost through the top of the head. Keep hands and feet warm also. Mittens are warmer than gloves. Covering the mouth with a scarf protects lungs from extreme cold air also. Also, let your children know to come inside often for warm-up breaks. Just like in the summer when we have cool-down breaks, in the winter we have to have warm-up breaks. Long periods of exposure to severe cold increases the risk of frostbite and hypothermia. Also, let them know if they start to shiver. If they start to shiver a lot and get very tired, or if their nose, fingers, toes, or earlobes start to feel numb, or turn very pale, come inside right away and tell an adult. These are signs of hypothermia and frostbite. If you or your children experience these types of symptoms, you will need immediate attention to prevent further risk. Now, one of the ways to entice a child to come inside when they're playing out in the snow is to have the hot cocoa ready. I remember many, many winters in New Jersey, the best thing about them wasn't the snowball fights or the snowmen or the sledding. It was the hot cocoa. I was always looking forward to that. I don't think I know a child who doesn't like hot cocoa. It brings back memories nowadays as a grown adult. So have the hot cocoa ready. Warm them up while they're inside. Dry out their clothing as much as possible, or put fresh clothing on them when they go back outside. Remember, the key here is to keep the body warm, and warm-up breaks are required. Well, that about does it for this episode of HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. I hope you enjoyed the show, and if you want any more information, please visit us at hesafety.org, where you will find archives of this radio program, a lot of information on safety, OSHA, MSHA, construction news, correctional news, and our emergency information network. You will find up-to-the-minute information on any situation that's going on in the world, with live feeds from FEMA, NGS, NOAA, and the Red Cross. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness will be heard at bbsradio.com every other Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com.